Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So it tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We can keep aside these vessels, thank you. So the substance of faith comes from hope. Without hope, faith cannot exist also. They are related. But hope and faith are two different forces. This morning we will conclude our series on visualizing. And it's important for us to see that what we see with the eyes of faith is actually what we have hope. Without hope, you cannot have faith. If faith is the substance of things hoped for, then faith came through hope. Hope is in the future, but faith is in the present. So what happens is faith reaches out and takes hold of hope and brings it into the present. It has hope in embryo. It has hope as a seed. It has hope as a substance. And we call it substance, the yetzer, the vision that is in our hearts. The substance that faith has taken hold. In faith, there is no time spent. So faith could reach out into the future, what God has shown about your life, and get a hold of the embryo or seed of it, and right now begin to nurture it in the present, in vision form. Now the vision is very gentle. We are talking about practical applications of the vision. It's important for us to realize that the vision you have is very gentle. It is very fragile. Just as a new infant that is born, the bones are tender, the skin is soft, and all you have to do is just press with one hand and you could have easily fractured an infant. But for most of us who have grown to be adults, our bones have hardened. We could take a wrestling grip of each other and there will be nothing wrong, except if it's a bit hard, we can feel the pressure. So we have to treat the seed and the infant with care. A little bit of it that is called doubt or unbelief or inconsistency will cause everything in the future to be spoiled. Today's scientists have even got down right to the gene. If they could alter the genes, they could alter the adult of whatever the genes is going to become. An animal, a plant, etc. It's so vital, it's so fragile. One tiny little injury to the embryo could mean a lifetime or handicap. And so for most of us who have learned about confession in order to write a vision in your heart, I want to share on the practical aspect of how to bring that vision about. We have talked and concluded last week about praying in tongues, how we can bring that vision forward in tongues. And so there is an aspect of what we call desire. Say, I will desire the things of God with all my heart, all my mind, and all my strength. Desire is in different degrees, right? We just play very softly, no tune, just softly, okay? We don't want the people subconsciously to sing that song, El Shaddai, while I'm singing, while I'm preaching. Thank you. And so, here we are talking about the seed of that vision and the desire that we need to have to bring it forth. Many people have visions real bona fide vision from God, but it cannot work out because they didn't put desire with their vision. Turn to Proverbs chapter 13 verse 12. Proverbs 13 verse 12. Chapter 13 verse 12. We're going to share a few verses just on bringing that vision in your life to reality. Chapter 13 verse 12. It says in verse 12, hope deferred. Remember, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. It means when a hope or something you hope for is postponed, depression comes, discouragement comes. Something that you hope did not turn out, your spirit of confidence becomes broken. It says it makes the heart sick. Remember, we talk about vision is in the heart. The heart is the part of you which visualizes, which sees. So when there is no hope, when there is no vision, the heart becomes sick, depressed, aimless. The next verse says, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. When the desire comes, say when the desire comes. When the desire comes, it is a tree of life. See, the vision you have is a seed, not a tree yet. The vision you have is an embryo. It's a seed, not a plant or a tree yet. You need to add desire to your vision to make it a tree. A tree of life. A tree of God's life. Vision must be nurtured by desire. Your desire can be in different degrees. Some people desire something to the extent that they would give of their time. Some people desire it so much that they isolate themselves to concentrate on that desire, the fulfillment. And some people, they desire to upgrade their ambition so much that they cut off fellowship with others. See, desire propels a person's commitment. Desire causes us to spend less time on those things which are not profitable to the fulfillment of the vision. If you have a vision of God and if God has spoken in prophecy and in any form what you are to do, you need to add desire to bring it to pass. Now, desire comes from ourselves and it can also come from God. Spiritual desires are planted by the Spirit of God. And the desire will cause the seed to become a tree of life. It causes your hope to be realized instead of deferred. And when hope is realized, that is when it's manifested. Unless we get so hungry and thirsty after what God has said in our life to come to pass and put all our being into that vision, it will not come to pass. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith it's impossible to please God. For those who come to Him must believe that He is And that he is a rewarder of them who seek him diligently. Desire enables you to be diligent in the vision in order to cut off what is not edifying. There are many things that are lawful. Nothing wrong with doing them. But they are not expedient. That means they have nothing to do with your vision. There are many things in my life that I enjoy doing. But because they're not expedient to the ministry, I cut them off in order to fulfill the vision. Because in this life, all of us only got one life. We got only 24 hours a day. If you spend 24 hours on different things each hour, you would dissipate your strength and your desire. But if you spend it all on that vision, it brings the vision to pass. The concentration of all your spirit forces, all your soul forces, all your body forces are in that vision. And it will enable that vision to grow into a tree of life. When desire comes, it is a tree of life. I like the way the Bible compares it to the tree of life, which was planted in the Garden of Eden. A tree which gives life, bears fruit, fruitful. There are many things that I enjoy doing that I do not do. I either do not do them or I cut down on them in order to fulfill the vision. To spend more time on the word and on prayer. Example, I like playing chess. I was a chess maniac. In case you didn't know that. I love playing it and I enjoy playing it. Sometimes some of you, when I visit your house, especially some of you boys, you catch me in a time when I happen to be very, very free. I could spare you 5 minutes and play chess. But it's something that is not expedient. It will not help me in the ministry because I cannot play chess with the devil. He may have the black pieces and I have the white pieces, but what's the point? He doesn't play chess that way. And so I cut down on those areas. In fact, I was so chess mad that one of my ambitions was to be a grandmaster. Praise God, I'm no granny today. And so the moment I came to commit myself to Christ, I was born again a Christian, and yet I was spending a lot of time playing chess. Some of you, it may not be chess, it could be your football. So instead of kicking football, learn to kick the devil. More interesting game. Spend your time on the priority items. Your desire must come forth. But the desire for God and for the work of God consume me, so I give that up. I give my beautiful chess board away, beautiful chess pieces away, give all those things away. So I don't spend much time in that area. In fact, I don't spend that time at all at home doing that. There are many things that all of us enjoy doing. They are lawful. I mean, the Bible did not say that thou shalt not play chess. Bible did not say thou shalt not play football. Bible did not say thou shalt not play badminton. Bible did not say all these things. Now hold it there, don't run overboard. I did not say thou shalt not have some games or exercise. But when it consumes your passion and takes your desire, do you know that in this life you can only have one solid direction to go at? Then you have dissipated your energy into the wrong end. You can go swimming once in a while if you want. You can play badminton once in a while if you want. But when death consumes your life, it will bear the wrong fruit and the wrong tree. And it will defer your hope, it will defer your vision. And in fact, it may not only postpone, it may nullify and cancel your whole vision from fulfillment. So we have to realize that desire must come forth in order for the vision to be fulfilled. Jesus held on to his vision by desire. See, desire helps you to hold on to your vision. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 17, in his prayer, he's still holding on to that today. In his prayer, he says, John chapter 17, verse 24, Father, I desire, notice the word desire, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Jesus desired us. Because he desired us, now he is interceding for us. Why is he able to intercede with great desire and vision, have vision for us? Because of his desire. See, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verse 15. At the conclusion of his ministry, see, Jesus held on to his desire to finish his ministry. He says in Gospel of John 17 that he has finished the work which the Father has given him. Now in chapter 22, or verse 15, then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Do you know that all the 30 years in his early life before his ministry, and all the 3 years of his life in the ministry, he was looking forward to that day. He was desirous for that day. See, his desire consumed him and directed his vision. Desire is the railway track on which the train of your vision runs on. See, it builds the track and keeps you on target. It will cause you not to turn to the left or to the right, but to follow the vision. Desire must be built up. It's our responsibility to build desires in our life. It may help you to understand on the negative side how desires come. See, God told me one time when I was trying to help Christians overcome bad habits in their life and weaknesses, and for helping them not to fall into temptation, God said there are 4 steps to temptation. 4 steps. The first step is a thought. The second step is the imagination. They see it. The third step is the desire. And the fourth step is the action. So God tell me to tell his people and said, if any Christian wants to overcome temptation that they face in their life, they have to overcome it within the first 2 steps. By the time it reaches the third level, it's very, very difficult to overcome because their desires are now flowing in the wrong direction. And the desires now love the sin. So by step 3 or step 4, they need someone to stay close with them. And desires are something that you feed. If you don't feed those desires, you don't have those wrong imaginations and those wrong thoughts, the desires began to starve and die off. But if you keep feeding them on the wrong things, let's say a person who is tempted and who has a weakness with lust, the devil tempts a person with wrong lustful thoughts. The person reads pornographic books. He feeds a desire, and then what happens is that the desire will grow. It grows stronger, and the action becomes harder. It becomes harder not to act in that direction. You will always act in what you desire. That is on the negative side. So what a person has to do, he must starve his doubts and feed his faith. Starve the temptations and feed your faith, the Word of God. Make a quality decision. Don't waste time on those wrong thoughts, wrong imaginations. And if you need help, you have to get a Christian brother or sister to discipline you, saying, watch over my life, make sure I don't go into all those areas. You just discipline me and put me through that boot camp for 1 year. And you come out, you will be different. See, God says if the people of God will overcome the temptation that the devil threw into their homes, within the first two steps, it's very easy to overcome when the desire has not come. But when the desire is conceived, it's very hard to set a person free. It takes time, meditation on the Word. On the positive side, it's the same. The Word of God comes in thoughts. You meditate on the Word. You see the Word. You imagine the Word. Both Logos and Rhema. And as you imagine it long enough, the desire drops into you. And it becomes easy for you to do something. That's when meditation comes in. See, we every time hear the Bible and it says that you must love, 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 love. Then the next Sunday they say you must be holy, 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 holy. Then the next Sunday it tells us that you can be healed, healed, healed. And a person hears all these things and don't have enough time to meditate on the Word. As a result of that, the person knows what they ought to do, but they cannot do it. You know what you ought to, but you have no desire to do it. So the struggle in Christian life comes in. Now, how many of you have any problem doing what you desire? You will have no problem doing what you like and desire. No struggle. Now, the reason why your Christian life struggles is because you know you ought to do something, but you don't desire to do it. Desire is not there. So you need to meditate on the Word. Meditate on the Word. Pray in tongues. And then the desire, as you focus on it long enough, desire drops into you. When desire drops into you, it becomes easy to do it. Like the Bible says that you shall love one another. You take the meditation scriptures, you confess love, love every day. You first thing you wake up, first thing you sleep, confess love, love, love. All the scriptures on love. After about 3 months, 4 months, suddenly you find that you like and you love to love. It becomes a part of you. It has built desire into you. Action is easy when the desire is there. So desire can be nurtured by the Word, by the vision. See, the vision and the Word will put desire in your heart. Some of you have a ministry and a call. Every time you are in an evangelistic meeting or in a service, the desire for the ministry come strong again. Sometimes when you are at home or you are at work and all the things of the world crowd you out, the desire seems to go less. Then it's why it's important to spend as much time as possible on the Word and on meetings. When it builds, it builds desire in your life until it comes to the point the desire is so strong that it consumes you day and night. And at the time when the desire consumes you day and night, you're close to manifesting what you see. See, when you desire it, strong enough, hot enough, long enough, you're close to the vision being birthed forth in your life. Now let me take an example from the Bible that speaks about a different area but is related in principle. Let's talk about the gifts of the Spirit and the anointing of God. Turn with me in the Bible in 1 Corinthians 12. After Paul listed the 9 gifts of the Spirit and the ministries of God, he concludes the last verse. Don't ever forget the last verse. It says, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And it talks about love. Turn to the one next to you and say, earnestly desire the best gifts. Now, how does it fit in with what he says? Isn't it marvelous? Just chapter 12, the few verses before, he tells you, for example, in verse 7, that the manifestation of the Spirit. Now, what is a manifestation? A manifestation is something that is in the Spirit and that becomes tangible in the to the five senses. That's what a manifestation is. A manifestation is something in the Spirit that becomes manifest in the physical realm. It is a manifestation. It becomes perceptible, perceivable, audible. It is manifested. So it says here, it got manifested to your soul realm. From the spirit realm, it gets into your soul realm, it gets into the physical realm. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone. But the Spirit of God has a certain level of desire before He performs in manifestation. Some of you desire to prophesy, but unless the desire to prophesy consumes you, you will never prophesy. Some of you desire to function in the gifts of the Holy Spirit in healing, but unless the desire consumes you, you will never manifest. That is why Paul said, after he taught them about the gifts, he says, now you folks desire, because unless you desire, it cannot come forth. See, desire must grow to a certain level. It's just like if I have a radio that runs on 220 volts and I plug in 110 volts, the radio will not run. Why? Because the voltage is too low. Or if I have a radio that runs on batteries and it runs on, for example, it runs on 6 volts. 4 batteries. After using the batteries and using the radio for some time, it reached a point when the radio stops functioning. Why? Because the batteries have run dead. In other words, the voltage has gone too low to impart a manifestation on the radio. The radio could not pick up the radio signals anymore. Radio signals are in the invisible realm. The radio picks up the radio signals and convert it into sound signals, which is what we can hear and perceive. But the voltage is too low for all the different electrical components to function to bring the radio waves and convert it into sound waves. If you put new batteries, then it starts again. And what happened? There must be a certain level of voltage before the Spirit of God manifests. There must be a certain degree of voltage spiritual voltage before the Spirit of God manifests. And that is why Paul said, but all of you desire. Now, what is that voltage or that spiritual ampere? It is your hunger and desire after the things of God. In proportion to your hunger and your desire, God is able to manifest to your life. See, it's related. The manifestation is tied to your desire. Now, chapter 14, he repeats the same thing again. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 1. After he talked about love, he says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. There you have it again. He says, desire it, hunger for it, thirst for it, so that it may come forth in your life. There will be no manifestation of your vision if you don't add desire in. That is why fasting and prayer helps. Fasting and prayer are indication, are an act of your desire. Spending time with God helps because they are indications of your desire factor. Your desire factor must rise to a certain level before God manifests. See, God can do many things. One of the keys to the anointing of God functioning is the desire level, the faith level, and the need level. For example, if you are preaching where it's 100% Christian, there's no point for God to manifest an evangelistic anointing on your life. No point to preach an evangelistic message where everybody is a believer. So that evangelistic anointing will not manifest because the need is not there. Sometimes the need is there, but the desire is not there. For example, it could be in a place where nobody cares about the lost, nobody really intercedes and travails for the lost, and couldn't care. It was just a place where they play church, where church is a society game. You just attend for social status. What happened? There can be a need, but no desire level. And no desire level, no faith level. So the anointing does not manifest. The manifestation depends on the desire. The desire. And in your own private life, the vision in your heart and in your mind and in your imagination can only be manifest when your desires for that vision to be fulfilled consumes you. You having the vision is something, but the vision having you is another. By the time it consumes you, that is when it's ready to burst forth. See, Paul had many desires in God. And one of those desires is, he said, I desire to go into Rome and to Spain. The Spirit of God had written a vision in him, but it was not fulfilled yet. Let me show it to you in Romans chapter 15. Some of you do not receive visions by seeing, but by a desire. Some of you receive visions and a desire. Now, in the end, you have to see the vision clearly. Could be an inner vision, that a direction to your life. But it all must come to this one thing, desire. Romans chapter 15, Paul says, in verse 23, remember that the book of Romans was the only epistle that Paul wrote to a church that he did not plant. Paul had never been to Rome before. It was the only epistle he wrote to a group of people whom he had not met. A church he had not planted. A place he had not preached the gospel to. So Paul wanted to visit them. When Romans was written, it was written at the peak of Paul's third missionary journey. It was written from Ephesus, somewhere about Acts 19. If you read Acts chapter 19, it tells you how Paul stayed about 3 years. 2 years in the school of one Tyrannus and another year just ministering the word before that. He spent 3 years in Ephesus. During the 3 years there, then was the time he wrote to the Romans. And he says in Acts, in Romans chapter 15, verse 23, "But now, no longer having a place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come to you." See, God was the one who has put that vision in his heart to go to Rome. God was the one who has put that vision in his heart, and together with the vision was the desire. Now the desire was building in his life. The desire had increased. It was a great desire. Who gave that to him? The Holy Spirit. Some of you have great desires, good desires, in line with the word. They came from God. And those desires need to be nurtured. See, Paul nurtured a desire. In verse 22, he says, "I have been hindered." Some of you have visions, but your vision has confronted hindrances. You wanted, like Paul, to fulfill the vision. He wanted to go to Rome, but he keep on being hindered. There was hindrance all along the way. He wanted to go and he was hindered. He wanted to go and he was hindered. Because the time of the vision was not yet. Remember when God said, today, his today is 1,000 years long. Please understand his terminology. To give you an indication of that, when Samuel the prophet told Saul, after Saul had disobeyed and given the unlawful sacrifice, God said to him that now God has chosen somebody else to replace you. That is in 1 Samuel. Samuel told King Saul, God has chosen somebody who is a man after his heart. He says, now. You know, it took many years before David was anointed. And it took nearly 37 years before David went to the throne. Because Saul reigned 40 years. And during that time, it was about the third year of Saul's reign. 37 years. And later on, when Saul did not obey God and he did not kill the Amalekites, and he spared their sheep and their flock, and then Samuel rebuked him for disobeying God, and while Samuel was walking away in 1 Samuel, Saul tore Samuel's coat. When he tore it, Samuel turned around and said, today God has torn away from you your kingdom and given it to your neighbor. Now the word today was fulfilled nearly 3 decades later. 30 over years later. So please understand and don't be impatient. When God gives you a vision, it will come to pass if you hang on to it, hold on long to it. The vision, though it tarry, it shall come to pass. Provided you do not give up your desire. You hold strong unto the desire. And the desires will build in you. See, desire takes time to build. Desire takes time to grow in you. And it can grow like Paul. He wanted to go to Rome. It was God's perfect will. And it was fulfilled not in the way he wanted it. In fact, he did get to Rome. Acts chapter 28. He finally reached Rome. Acts 19, he wanted to go there. But Acts 28, he finally reached Rome. After many years of imprisonment, many years of trial, problems with the Jews, finally he reached Rome. And along the way, Jesus appeared to him one time while he was in Jerusalem. Jesus said that, Paul, you will go to Rome. Look at Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 23, verse 11. While he was imprisoned in Jerusalem, it looks like here he is in prison. The vision to go to Rome can never be fulfilled. But Jesus appeared to him in Acts chapter 23, verse 11, and said, be of good cheer. You see, Jesus is never discouraged. You may be down, Jesus is never down. He says, Paul, as he has testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness in Rome. Paul says he shall go. Jesus said you shall go to Rome. If you read carefully, Paul was still in prison for a couple more years. But he never forsake his desire. He never forsake the vision. Because the vision was built with great desire. And you have your great desire together with your vision. Come what may, come storms, come hindrances. If you hold on to it, God will bring it to pass. If you don't give up, God will not give up. The seed will grow. For when desire comes, it shall be a tree of life. It shall blossom where it is planted. Desire comes, it shall burst forth as a tree. So I encourage you, nurture that vision. It is very fragile. Now let me illustrate what fragile is like. It has to be built slowly by your desire. It's just like the anointing. The anointing is powerful, but it takes obedience and gentleness to build it. Otherwise, it will go off. It's just like Elisha. In 2 Kings chapter 3, they told Elisha, they said, we need a word from the Lord. We are going to die here because we don't have water. Elisha said, bring me a minstrel, bring a musician. And when the musician played, the anointing of God came. See, we have to be tender-hearted. It builds. It's gentle. But yet, the thing that is built becomes the thing that overcomes. The vision, when it is small, is fragile. But when it comes forth, it is the most powerful thing on earth. It cannot be shaken. You could take one seed of a tree, and you could take a hammer and destroy it with one blow and kill it. But when that tree, when that seed is planted, and it grows into a great tree, you try to take that same hammer, you cannot harm that great big tree. It starts very fragile. Some of you, in fact, all of you were very fragile when you first came into this earth. You were so fragile when you all were born into this earth. All they could do to kill you is snuff your nose. And you die. But today, if they try to snuff your nose, it's not easy. Some of you could hold your breath for very long. It's not easy. You are no more as fragile as when you were, but you started fragile. Today you are people who can overcome. You're people who can do mighty exploits, but you started fragile. The same way with a vision. See, sensitivity to the vision is important. Sensitivity to the things of the spirit, handling them with great care is very vitally important. Let me illustrate. For example, let's talk about the anointing of God. And I'll call someone with a loud voice. The loudest voice here. Let me give him this mic. And Brother Rustin, could you come? Yes. Okay. I'd like you to come up here. Now, I can't ask him to prophesy now because you don't make up this thing. It has to come as the Spirit will. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to ask him to read Psalms 23. If you turn to Psalms 23, in the way that you will give a prophecy, okay? He's going to read Psalms 23 in the way that a person will prophesy, like, thus says the Lord. So he's going to read it like, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. He's going to read it in his beautiful voice. Okay? Now, I want the musician to stop playing for a while. Now, I will go over on the piano and I will accompany his reading. I will accompany in two ways. He will read once through, I'll accompany in a certain way. And he'll read another time, I'll accompany in a different way. And you will notice the difference just with the flow if I accompany him the wrong way. It builds a different atmosphere. The musicians, please listen to that also. Okay? Hold on. Don't start yet. Count to three. Thank you. Okay, you may proceed.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Okay, now you all listen carefully. It's going to be a different way. Could you read it again one more time? Same Psalms 23. Same manner, same emphasis.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Thank you, Pastor Rustin. Can you give Jesus a clap offering? Now, those two styles of playing make two different moods. To what I call the weeping before the Lord. Isn't it? It is more like a cheery mood. But when there's an anointing where we have to weep before the Lord, we cannot play that first style. You have to play it very soft. Almost like the teardrops dropping. Toing, toing, toing. It produces a totally different atmosphere. That is why sometimes when I'm here, I keep signaling to the musician, because if it moves in a different way, it can just, it's too fragile. You see, the anointing, when you're building it up, at first it's fragile. But when it builds up strongly, it becomes a mighty tree that is a tree of deliverance. The closest I could find an example to it was when I was trying to look for a natural example, and I found one in the end, in the form of lightning. See, what happened inside a cloud that is high above in the sky? Could be a big, huge, cumulus cloud. Is that within the cloud, a lot of forces are moving. If any of you have traveled in a plane, if the plane gets into the cloud, it gets hit in the, what you call the air pocket, the different pressures, and the plane, the huge, big 747 will be shaking. Now, inside the cloud, I had a very careful study on that. A lot of exchange, electrical exchange taking place. The air within the cloud is moving. Although when you look at the cloud outside, it looks so beautiful and lovely. Inside it, the air is moving. There are a lot of forces moving. It's a current flowing inside the cloud. And the current that is flowing the cloud is those electrons and those protons and neutrons, all this, they are flowing, and the electrons are being built up. See, electricity is being built up. There are a lot of static going on inside the cloud. Now it reaches a point when there are too much electrons being released. And what happens is the cloud, in a spurt of energy, sometimes when it comes close to another cloud or something, in a spurt of energy, it releases what we call a thunderbolt. Boom, the lightning comes forth. And the lightning, we know, sometimes it has been calculated, it can contain millions of volts. Millions of voltage are released. Could kill a person instantly. And so the building up is very gentle, very fragile. A cloud is very fragile. But when it builds up to a certain point, the anointing and the energy that is built up, see, the anointing, we must treat it with great care. When the anointing builds to a certain point, if anyone will receive it and believe it, they can immediately receive a miracle. It's very powerful when the anointing is built. Now, if you try to come before the anointing or come after the anointing, nothing happens. But you come right at the time when there's a flow of anointing, that's when the thunderbolts
John G. Lake called it the lightnings of God are being released. One stroke of the lightning, you're healed. You could have been having 20, 30 years of problem. It would blow apart in one split second. But the handling of it has to be very gentle. The building up of the clouds of glory. The building up of the voltages in the spirit realm. See, what happens is when they build a certain realm, some people still are in unbelief, so they never receive at all. Jesus could not minister to those who don't believe. But there are those who believe and said, now, I want to receive now, and open their heart at the right time, at the right moment. Zam! The power of God is called the anointing of God breaking the yoke, gets into their life. That's what it does. It can be built up. During the building stage, it's fragile. But when it reaches a certain stage, it's no more. It consumes you. The vision is that way. The vision is like an embryo. Handle with care. A little doubt, a little laziness, a little indulgence in the wrong flesh will wash out all that God has placed in you. So we have to treat it with care and nurture it and build it up. What happens is you build desire layer by layer. See, as you love God and want to fulfill the vision, you may say, alright, I'm going to spend an hour meditating on that vision. Then you say, no, it's so important to me now, and you spend another extra hour praying over that vision. So you begin to commit more and more until that vision consumes you. It reaches a certain point when that vision starts what I call manifesting. When it's manifesting, it is so awesome that the things of the devil and every work of the devil can be blown apart by the vision. God is implanting visions in your heart and in your life, even today and in your life. They are very fragile when you receive them. A tiny thought, tiny glimpse, a small dream, a small vision, a small word. But if you will treat it very carefully, be careful because it's fragile. Don't despise it, don't dwell in unbelief, and build it up. It will build very strong. To the point that in the end, you don't carry the vision anymore. The vision carries you. See, it's just like a man who has to cross the sea. At first, the man has to build a boat. After some time, when the boat is ready, the boat carry the man. So at first you carry the vision, but as your vision builds up to a certain halfway point and crosses over, the vision now carries you. Paul was a man of vision. He carried much vision, many visions. And many, many of those visions he have reached a point where he has written in the Bible, he says, I am constrained by the vision. See, the vision now carries him. And when the vision carries him, it is the easy part. Easy part. But the hard part is to get a vision grow up in you until it can carry you. The vision carries you. All you have to do is worship and enjoy and see that vision coming to pass in your life. One thought, One word, one dream, one vision is enough to change your future. My life turned about 180 degrees. I was not committed to Christ in my early life. And as a Christian, I was still very ambitious in the worldly sense. I just happened to join some of my fellow Christians to pray in the morning. And one morning when I was praying, there was in 1975, it was a four-story flat, and I was on the rooftop of it. We used to gather on the roof in the early morning to pray. And when I was praying on one of those mornings, there came a presence that surrounded me. And I started crying, and then there came an overwhelming desire to go to the lost, to save and the lost, bring the lost into the kingdom of God. I had plans, I had my own plans, my own ambitions. But that tiny moment, in that tiny moment, God changed me 180 degrees. And I realized what is life if not to live for God. It took about 10. And from that time onward, I pursued the vision to follow God and do what God wants me to do. I gave up my ambition. I had two ambitions. One was to be a grandmaster, the other was to be an accountant. I was already taking a course. But it made me turn 180 degrees to say, I'll give that up. I'll follow that vision. And there have been many times along the way when my vision has been helped by others. There have been others who I met who have strengthened the vision. Others who I have met through their teaching and the word have sort of helped me to see how I'm able to fulfill the vision, hold on to the vision, renew the vision, strengthen the vision, grow the vision. In the same way, I'm building it into your life. Renewing your vision, strengthening your vision. Because if we all remain faithful, in the next couple of years, we are going to see some of you enter into the most beautiful things of God. The vision is going to come to pass if you will hold on, spread out, hold on to it. It's going to carry you. Let's all stand unto our feet. The vision that you have in your heart is precious, so precious, so gentle, but yet so true. Impossible to man, but possible to God. Incomprehensible to your own mind, but understandable to your spirit. Looks like no way you can fulfill it. Where there isn't a way, God will make a way. The vision that you have requires a commitment and your desire. Some of you, your visions are just like little embryos. They are so fragile that if you're not careful, you may wipe it up and remain the same in the years to come. You have to take heart to the vision that God has placed in your heart. Take heart to the desires. I realize in my spirit that not all of you have seen visions. But God spoke to my spirit and said, All of you have desires placed in your heart. All of you. Like Paul, who has a desire to go to Rome, some of you have godly desires placed in your heart. Write them down. Write them down. Because those desires came from the Spirit of God. And if you will nurture them, they will burst forth into visions. They will burst forth into great visions that can carry you through the rest of your life. Let's dedicate ourselves unto the Lord today. At the conclusion of this teaching on visualizing, let me tell you, it is that visualizing that changed my life. It's one of the most inner secrets of my heart that I pour out to you. If you can see it, it's yours. If you could nurture it, it will change your future. I don't care what kind of circumstances or hindrances stand before you. But you could see it clearly. Be careful about it because it's fragile in the beginning. Nurture it carefully. It's the most powerful force ever released on this earth. Nothing can stand before it because the vision is always from His Word, and it's His spoken word to your life. Heaven and earth will come to pass. In our midst are many visions and dreams and desires that the Spirit of God has placed. I want us to dedicate that to God this afternoon. Commit ourselves in such a way. If it costs you your time, pay the price. If it costs you your money, pay the price. If it costs you to cut off your unnecessary fellowship, cut it off. Because God is looking for a man and a woman who will love Him with all their heart and all their mind, all their strength. Only such a person can God today do what He wants to do on planet Earth. He cannot work much with a half a heart. He needs a total commitment to what He said to you. Whatever He has spoken to you, unless you are willing to pay the price to fulfill it, it will not be fulfilled. You must be willing. We sing very softly the song, "All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. Take me, Jesus. Take me now. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I pray. Trust Him. Spirit of God is impressed upon me. With the choir and me, we are going to sing it again. I want all you to be seated for a few holy moments. And I'd like the helpers to go to the back there. And underneath the cupboard, you'll find some notepads. And I'd like the helpers to pass out all the notepads to you all. Each person take one sheet. And I want each one of you, before you leave this place today, to write that down on that notepad. We're going to put an offering vessel here. Before you leave, you bring it right up here and put the vision, the desire, the seed of what God has spoken to your life. Put it in the degree that God has shown you. If it's detail, write in detail. If it's general, write in general. What vision God has placed in your heart to fulfill in your life. And I'm going to pray for the Spirit of God to help you to write it down. Put it down, send it up, and you're going to commit yourselves in a prayer after that. Okay? Choir, could you sing, "I Surrender All"? Okay, could we just quickly pass a slip of paper to each one of them? If you have your own paper, you can take your own paper, write it down. Could I have an offering vessel brought up? See, today you're going to release the vision in your heart and in your life. Thank you. God has told you you will be a pastor. Write it down. God told you you are to be an evangelist. Write it down. God told you that you got the ministry of giving. Write it down. If God told you you got a ministry of music, write it down. If God told you you're going to be a soul winner, write it down. God told you you'll be an intercessor, write it down. Because there's an anointing to pray for that today. For your vision to come to pass. We're just going to obey God. Whatever He shows to your life, write down whatever God has placed in your heart. Whatever. And the Spirit of God is even now on you. Help you to write that down. You're going to release it today before you leave this place. Write it down. Write down the vision. You're going to experience a breakthrough in your life from the moment you put it down on paper today. God told me that by writing that down. And don't worry, all of you up here, some of you wondering, "Hey, I never got a chance because I'm singing up here." Alright, after the meeting you can write down and put it in. Now you do the ministry and let them write down. You're going to flow with what the Spirit. Remember, this is a conclusion of that series on visualizing in the Spirit. We're going to write it down. Put it on paper. Release it to the Lord today. God is going to impart something into you. It's going to be a release into your heart and spirit like it has never been before. There's an anointing to release that. Whatever He has written for you in your life, if it's your call to be a businessman, write it down. Whatever He has shown you, write it down. If He has shown you some special ministry that nobody has done before, write it down. It's an anointing to release that today. You're going to release it today. Vision of your heart. Have you written it down? I want you to stand up, holding that piece of paper. You've written it down. I want you to stand up, holding that piece of paper. Now, after the meeting, we are going to leave this here for a while the ministry is on, so that in case you did not write or did not write in full detail, you can continue and write it finish and put it down. But right now, whatever you have, you just write it down. And we're going to take that and pray over. But right now, you're going to pray with that in your hand. I want you to hold it on your chest. Hold it close to you. Right, we're all going to pray this prayer together. We're going to pray this prayer together. Softly, pray this today. We're going to pray this together. Remember, when there's a softness, flow with a softness. Say, Father, today I've written what is in my heart. For I know I'm only a vessel. I'm nothing. I can only do what you want me to do. I have surrendered my life to fulfill your will on this planet Earth. And today, I release that vision unto you. Increase it, strengthen it, nurture it, cause it to grow, to carry me, so that I will live and die, or live and go home, saying these words: Father, I have finished what you asked me to do. I have done your perfect will in my life. In Jesus' name. Now, holding on to you, I'm going to pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that anointing that is in this place today will not go wasted, But that anointing that is in this place today will enter the hearts and the minds and the lives and the thoughts and the desires of each one of your children and birth into them. Breathe upon them that vision. Breathe into their life that seed. Plant that vision deep into their hearts, into the inner corridors of their spirit. Plant it on firm ground and seal it by the earnest and power of your Holy Spirit. Seal it upon their hearts, seal it upon their minds, seal the desires in their hearts and minds. In Jesus' name. 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 Thank you, Lord. Every head bow and every eye closed. If you are here the first time and you have not been born again, you have not known Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you know that God has done some wonderful things in your life and has touched you in a wonderful way today, you know that Jesus is a true and living Savior and you want to accept Him, I want you right where you are, while every head is bowed and every eye closed, lift up your hands quickly high and say, I want Jesus. Pray for me. I want Him as my Lord and Savior. I want Him today. I want Him now. Lift up your hands high and say, pray for me. I want to accept Him into my heart and life now. 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 You want Him now? Lift up your hands high. Say, pray for me. I want to be born again. Pray for me. I need this Jesus. I need this same Jesus to change my life. Transform me. Give me a new vision, a new birth in me, so that I can do what He wants me to do. Right now. Alright? We're going to sing that song, All to Jesus I Surrender. When those of you were to be born again, you make your way to the left here. If you wrote anything just now, you also can put it here on your way there. And as you sing All to Jesus I Surrender, you want to accept Christ, come right to the front, to my left. And I want those of you who have written that vision, as you sing that song, you make your way, drop it into the offering vessel. And if you need prayer, you stay and there will be people praying for you. Otherwise, you can make your way back. All to Jesus to be born again, come on my left. Those of you who need prayer, after you put your vision in, you come and stand around here. And I want those who minister together with me to stand here to pray for those who come forward. Thank you, Jesus. Surrender all. I surrender all. Today is a sort of new birth and new beginning for some of you. You have never written down your vision before. It's the first time you have written it. There's a release in your spirit, even today.